getting ready to do another chapter, a half chapter maybe, of Deuteronomy today. So let's begin with a reading from the Psalms. This would be Psalm 119, verse 137. And I'm reading from the ESV. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Lord, we hear your words, and let them come into our hearts. And remember, your meaning of heart is our entire being. We ask that my words today will be what you want me to say, and that they will reach people's hearts. And we ask for peace in this country, and that the world will understand what we are doing. And we do ask this all in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's kind of go over a little bit of what we did last week. In verse 1, it was an implied if-then verse. Be careful to do the commands. Then you will reap the benefits of it. You will multiply, you will possess the land, and as Yahweh promised. And then in verse 2, Moses tells the Israelites to remember. That's kind of a theme for this verse, for this chapter rather, that Yahweh led them to the wilderness to humble them and to test them. And if you remember last week, we talked that humble has kind of a double meaning. It can mean to educate, or as a way to punish. And if we read Exodus and in Deuteronomy, you kind of get that it's going to be doing both, to test them, to educate them, and to punish them for their disobedience. And the word test means to do to prove what they are trying to do, that the Israelites are trying to do. Now, again, we have to remember that Yahweh is omniscient. He knew exactly what they were going to do well before time began. So remember, we used that term anthropomorphism to put it into our terminology that we can begin to understand. And then in verse 3, we saw that Yahweh provided for the people. He gave them manna. And we read that famous verse that Jesus used in the temptations, in the temptation in the desert, that man, and that Hebrew word meant all of mankind, not just the Jews. Cannot live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, I highlighted the word, because if you remember, Pastor, as we went through Exodus, and he talked about the Ten Commandments and used the words, 10 words, well, that word, can mean commands or commandments. So we could actually read that is that man must not live on bread alone, but on every command that comes from the mouth of God. Now, in that verse, water wasn't mentioned, but we know that water was provided. Not always to the benefit of Moses, though. And in verse 4, we talked about that God's grace, their clothes didn't wear out, their sandals didn't wear out, they didn't have foot problems. And then if we continued on in verse 5, we saw the word heart. And remember, in the old Hebrew, the word heart means your entire being. And pastor, time after time, will refer that Jesus wants your heart. That is, he wants your entire being. So I'm sure he's quoting from the Old Testament. He wants our entire being. And in verse 6, we saw the word shall, which is an imperative, a command, that you must conduct yourself in a way that is pleasing to God. And in verses 7 through 9, talked about the good land. And then in verse 10, praise Yahweh for everything he has done. And that goes for us too, that we need to praise Yahweh for everything that he has done for us. And in fact, the best thing that he has done for us is to provide a way for salvation. And that is something we have to keep in our foremost minds. All right, now, chapter 8 is in a chiastic fashion. Now, why, you're going to say to yourself, self, why is he bringing that up again? Well, Cheryl, after last week, 2 weeks ago, I talked about this. She asked me to remind her of the definition, and I gave her a terrible definition at that time. So I went home, looked it up again, and wrote it down, and figuring if I can't give a good definition of it, you guys probably can't. That's one reason that it's up here. So if you look at it, it's a literary structure in which it's a sequence of elements that goes up to a peak and then down again, where the first and the last correspond to the second and the next to last, et cetera, et cetera. So part of the reason I'm bringing it up again is I needed the definition of again in my mind. There's another reason, though. This is a common format in the Old Testament. It appears time and time and time again. Easier to see in the Hebrew than it is in the various English translations. But as my friend Dr. Sproul says, if God does something time after time after time, maybe it's something he wants you to pay attention to. So since you'll see this time and time and time again, it's something that we should be aware of. And then there's a third reason. When I get through with Deuteronomy, and yes, I will eventually make it through Deuteronomy because chapters 12 through 26 will go faster. I've talked to Pastor, and I want to do something on the Psalms using Dr. Godfrey's approach to it. We'll use his CD, his DVDs, and then we'll add some words to it. But when Dr. Godfrey looks at a chiasm, he does it in a step pyramid fashion. Now, I would do it in a step pyramid fashion if I could draw a straight line on PowerPoint. But since my lines are never straight on PowerPoint, I decided I'll do it the way the textbooks do it. But when we get to Psalms, he'll be doing it this way. Now, we did the first verses 1 through 11. They are in the chiasm. 19 and 20 fall out of that, but they stay within the format of the treaty. And today we're going to be doing verses 11 through 20. And that's what we're talking about here today. Now, as I said last week, chapter 11 is the high point of this particular chapter. We went up the first parts of it, up to verse 11. Now we'll look at verse 11 again and come back down. And you'll see that verse 12 will look much like verse 10, etc., as we go back down the chiasm. Now, let me read verse 11 from the New Living Translation. But this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. So remember, they are to remember, not forget. And we'll see this again and again in here. The word remember is used in the Old Testament lies closely to the word obey. If you are to remember something, you are to obey it. It's not just something that's in the back of your mind. They were to remember, and we are to remember that it was Yahweh who by his grace is going to give them the land of milk and honey. And those commands and regulations and decrees that we talked about will be repeated again as we get through from chapter 12 through chapter 26. But I promise you, we're not going to go word for word, verse by verse, from chapters 12 through 26. That's a promise. As I said, verse 12, especially the first part, is really a repeat of verse 10. And then you'll see in the NIV, or you'll read the word otherwise, or if you're following it in the ESV, you'll read the word lest. And that's in addition to what we read in verse 10. And it's going to be explained as we go through these last verses up through verse 18. Otherwise, or lest. And Moses, we're going to now, remember we went up through verse 11, and now starting on verse 11, we're going to come back down the chiasm, and that's what Moses is going to walk us through as we go through the rest of these verses. And if we look at verse 12, I should read those verses, excuse me. Starting at verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and built the good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, from there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna from that your fathers did not know, that you might humble you and test you to do the good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand have given me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that you may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, you shall perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, if you notice in that verse, some of the translations will say, you will forget Yahweh. Not if, but when. Remember, he's omniscient, so he knows what they're going to do. And all you have to do is read Joshua and Judges, and you'll see the disobedience that they do. Right now I'm in Judges in the reading, and it's, you know, they fall, the judge comes up, they're good for 30, 40 years, the judge dies, and they're back in their same way. So Yahweh knows what they're going to do. Moses is trying to warn them, don't do it. And Moses is trying to tell them they had nothing to do with it. It was all Yahweh who did it. And we're going to see that cover some of those words, those action verbs, later on today, this morning. So let me read Proverbs 30:8-9. Remove far from me the falsehoods and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. So if you have too much, you forget God. If you have too little, you'll be tending to steal and profane the name of the Lord. And that's what Moses is warning them about. Just because you get a lot, you have to remember who gave it to you. And that kind of goes for us too. We sometimes we think, well, I was smart enough to do this. And God doesn't even enter into our minds. And that's what he's trying to warn the Israelites about doing. Just don't think because you're sitting in that beautiful house and eating that good food and drinking that good wine, you didn't do it. It was all God, none of us, none of them. Now, here again, we're going to be talking about humbling and testing. Again, remember we had humbling and testing in the early parts of chapter 8. Now we have it here. We went up with. Now we're coming back down using the same kinds of words. And remember, the humbling meant either education or punishment, and testing was to prove what their intentions were. Now, we also read in there how he protected them from the lack of food, the lack of water, the lack of wild beasts, prevented them from scorpions. Well, they had a little bit of a snake bite problem there for a while. But again, it was their disobedience that caused the snake bite attack. That was done as a deliberate punishment, humbling them. So when Yahweh wanted to punish them using the snakes, that's what he did. Now, remember, we all saw, we can see the grace of God throughout these books. Remember, when they refused to go into the promised land from Kadesh Barnea, he didn't punish them. I mean, he didn't destroy them, but he punished them. His grace saved them. So he was gracious in the action that he did. And we have to remember throughout this that this is still in the treaty format. Yahweh is the great provider. Israel had a certain responsibility. Now, at the men's breakfast yesterday in our chapter, now I have to admit I'm taking it out of context from what was written in the chapter, but when I read it, I said to myself, self, this is really kind of sums up everything in Deuteronomy. So here's what God is saying. I am your creator, and you belong to me. That's what he's saying, could be saying to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. I am your creator, and you belong to me. You were created to love, serve, worship, and obey me. These things should underlie everything you do. That's what Israel was supposed to do. That was their function of the treaty. That's our function also. And let me read that again. This really struck me. I am your creator, and you belong to me. You were created to love, serve, worship, and obey me. These things should underlie everything you do. That's what Yahweh is telling the people to do. And the treaty itself goes back to what was done between Yahweh and Abraham, and then repeated to Isaac and Jacob, and then is being elaborated on as we continue on through the book of Deuteronomy. Now, if we get into verses 17 and 18, the Israelites, in verse 17, we get a warning about pride. After liberating the promised land, they might well think that they did it on their own. And they'll say, well, it's my power, my might, have given me this great wealth. In the first word in verse 18, in the ESV, the first word is but. Moses is saying, in contrast with everything I have just said, it isn't you, Israel, who did all this. It's Yahweh who did it. Israel was the arm of the Lord, but without him, they would have failed. We saw that back when they failed to do what Yahweh told them to do back in Kadesh Barnea. Then they decided to go do it on their own. Yahweh told them, no, don't do it. They said, well, we'll do it anyway based upon our own might. And they got their tails whooped. So it was all Yahweh, none of them. Now, it was God's grace that gave Israel everything that they had. And if you go back, and this is the words that I wanted to talk about a little bit. If you look at these action verbs, it was Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. It was Yahweh who led you through the wilderness. It was Yahweh who gave you water. It was Yahweh who fed you. It was Yahweh who gave you the power. What did they do? They grumbled a lot. And if you look in the Old Testament, you don't want to grumble very much about God. Bad things happen when you grumble and murmur. You don't want to grumble and murmur. And they did a lot of that. So, look at those action verbs. Brought, led, watered, fed, gives. All action words that Yahweh did. They were all on the receiving end of it. Now, in verses 19 and 20, they seem to be out of the chiasm format, but they're not out of the treaty format. And in verse 19, if you forget, forget, that is, if you fail to remember, that is, you fail to obey, and you go after other gods, it's amazing how long it doesn't take them, and I could say us, to go after other gods. And so the warning that goes to the Israelites is a good warning for us. Now, if you go after other gods, remember, this is the treaty format, if then, if you obey, you get rewards. If you disobey, you get punishment. If you go after other gods, you shall perish. And in the NIV and the New Living Translation, that word is destroyed. And what really happens to them, we know in the later on books of the Old, in the Old Testament, when they, the Israelites, have filled up their cup of disbelief, they go into exile. They've been told, we've been told, if we go after other gods, we're going to perish. So there's something that we get from the Old Testament that is directly applicable to us. Now, if we look at how does chapter 8 apply to us, first thing is we must not live by bread alone, but by every word or command that comes from the mouth of God. And that means we are to remember those things. We are to be obedient to his word. The image of God as the Father in testing disciplines the children gives a perspective to our trials. Now, I hopefully got this one right, that it's Proverbs 3, 11, and 12. So let me, hopefully, I got this right this time. Yeah. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. So there we read in Proverbs what we're talking about here. And we must acknowledge the gracious work that Yahweh has done on our behalf. And if we go back to chapter 8, verse 10, in Deuteronomy, when you have eaten your fill, this is from the New Living Translation, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So we could say, when you have eaten your fill, and be sure and praise the Lord your God for the good things he has given us. So we can kind of take that and paraphrase it a little bit. And lastly, we must not forget God in our successes. And that's what we're being told here. So, ending a little early, but I don't want to get into chapter 9 yet. Father God, we do thank you for these words that we do take to our heart, that we shall not forget you in our successes and not blame you for our trials. Because the trials and tribulations we have, we know that you are testing us. And I have to admit that each night I do pray, Lord, don't test me anymore. I've kind of had enough tests. So we ask that you be with us this morning and for this evening service. And we know that the words of Pastor will be for your glory. We do ask all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.